Yes. It is a new edition of Inside Boxing Live presented by PPV.com. It is Dan Canobio. It is Chris Algieri. It is your favorite boxing podcast. Do us a favor. I never asked for this. Go and rate us on iTunes. Give us a five-star rating. I'm getting some great reviews, Chris. Some kid last week, I assume he's a kid, said that we are his inspirations. He said he looks up to us as broadcasters. I love that. That gives me the drive, and that gives me the inspiration to sit down at this desk and record twice a week with you. So leave us a review. Go on YouTube. Subscribe to the page. It's brought to you by PPV.com. Chris is back from Quebec City. How are you, Chris? Traveling man.
I'm good. I looked up that kid. He is a 35-year-old man who lives at home in his mother's basement. But
that's not true.
No, it's not true. I'm messing with you. Quebec City was cool. Good fights, good weather. It was nice to actually be able to walk outside and not like be drenched in sweat like it is in South Florida right now. But good food. It's some really good food. Nice steak. Some nice.
So you had a dinner with your manager, Keith Connolly.
Yeah, Keith and I got to catch up. It was fun. A little boys' night out. Our first night in Quebec City. It was fun.
Does Keith have any insight on Berlanga? What does he have to say about Edgar?
Yeah, he has a ton of insight. And for the listeners at home, Keith was my manager in like my last comeback. I think we had like four or five fights together. Awesome guy, best manager in the world, 100%. Doesn't get
looks
as recognized.
Looks
as much.
Like Gordon Gekko.
Yes, and acts like him too. So
he's got the guy knows how to wear a blue suit. I'll tell you.
Guy knows how to wear a blue suit. Guy knows how to stand in the background of a victory photo. Knows how to get his fighters paid. He's the man. But
he's been doing that for a while. Jacobs to Derevchenko. Now
Jacobs
Edgar
was
Belonger.
His first. He found Danny in the amateurs.
I know. That's pretty cool. I can see that story where he's come. But did he say anything about Edgar that you can share with us and our loyal listeners?
Just that deal was in play for a very long time, and he played hard to get, but that was going to be the fight, which you know we were hearing about this months ago, and we're saying, oh, it's going to be Edgar in September, and then they kind of feigned with the Eubank fight. This was the fight to be made.
Yeah, and Edgar's talking a big game still. He says, if I win, I'll be the hero of Puerto Rico. He's doing a lot of press.
Keith did tell me that this is 100% the way he feels. He is not, that is not a game. That is not a ploy. Edgar is going in there with the mindset that he's going to knock Canelo Alvarez out.
Listen, as we get closer to this fight and you know, it's like a month away and the initial reaction is like, there's no way Edgar Berlanga can beat Canelo Alvarez. There's no way this guy has zero title fights. Canelo has over 20. I'm not saying Edgar Berlanga is going to win. I think he puts up one of the better fights against Canelo that we've seen in recent years. And that's honestly, it's not saying too much because Charlo put up a goose egg. Munguia early put up a fight. Ryder, I feel like, gave Canelo his toughest fight, especially late. Yes. Golovkin gave him nothing. Plant, I think, gave him something to think about for those early rounds. But I think Berlanga could give him something to think about just because of the youth and the and just size. His power and size and just him just being so oblivious and just be like, I don't care. I have nothing to lose.
Yeah. Well, that I think that's a big part of it too, is the mindset of Berlanga is like, he really doesn't have anything to lose. He secured the bag. He's fighting a legend. You know, he's young, he's undefeated. He's got the youthful exuberance. He's got the athleticism and he can go out there and just let those hands go. Good things happen when you punch. And, you know, the worst thing that could happen, the worst thing that could happen is what everyone thinks is going to happen. You get knocked out. So,
well, that would be interesting to see too. Like Canelo has not scored a knockout win since Plant, which was 3 years ago. He's been knocking down opponents. He's been catching them with great timing. And that's kind of what he is now, is like a great timing counterpuncher. Can he knock out Berlanga in spectacular fashion? And that will grease the wheels for a Benavidez fight. That will grease the wheels for a Bivol 175 run, I believe. Later in this episode, we will go over our top five favorite fights upcoming. Speaking of which, I was at Fanatics Fest yesterday in Jacob Javits Center, New York City.
Oh boy,
City,
I'm pulling my chair up to listen now. Let's go.
Dude, every
home.
Athlete.
I have not talked to Dan about this yet. I don't have any inside information yet. I didn't see a whole lot on the interwebs. So
Tyson and Jake Paul, right? Yes.
That's I'm listening the way you guys are.
Tyson and Jake Paul take the stage again, but this Fanatics Fest was crazy. It was like every athlete that ever lived past or present, was rolling up to this for autographs. I saw Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, which was freaking awesome. Yeah, he pulled up right next to me after it, and I was like, oh my God, it's like one of the five best NBA players ever. Guy played with Magic Johnson, and that was cool. But Fanatics Fest was really awesome in terms of just like the fans and the sports fans coming together. They had UFC had a whole cage there. I wish there was more boxing, more boxers represented there. So get some legendary boxers there to make some money, but it was just Mike Tyson, of course, comes on the stage. On Sunday, that's where I was at, on that stage with Canelo, with Tyson and Jake Paul. And I don't know if you probably saw some of the shoving, because that went like somewhat viral. That made it onto like the Instagram pages.
Yeah, at first I thought Tyson actually jabbed him in his chest, but it was a push. But it looked, you know, like it looked like more like a punch. And then there was like that playful shoving afterwards. But I don't know. The fact that Tyson has a huge smile on his face the whole time.
He's having fun.
Makes it very difficult for me to believe that there's any true animosity in this at all.
I don't think there is. I think Jake did the great job of being the heel. Said, New York, you're just like Tyson 20 years ago. You were great. That kind of pissed me off as a New Yorker, but he has a point. but he was playing the heel well, and I think Tyson's having fun with this. Like, he's having a blast. Like, he was smiling. He's pushing Jake. He's having a blast, and Jake is taking it seriously, which it should be. Like, that's the promotion for this fight. It was cool to be a part of it and hang out with Tyson, got a little picture with him, and see all that. But they're going full steam ahead. Katie Taylor, Amanda Serrano is the co-main event, which is going to be an awesome fight. Jerry World. They're filling out the rest of the card. I don't know if that Floyd Schofield card and Ashton Silva is going to be on it. I don't think Ashton Silva should fight for a while.
They're putting him back with Schofield?
No, that's not official at all. That was on the original.
Right. Okay.
For July, Schofield
put Body in there. Body and Schofield.
That's what I've seen. Lucas Body's manager, Dave Iskowitz, or something. He's part of Lucas Body's team, and
You get the spot.
Exactly. Lucas Body's in like demand right now. 135, big puncher, huge, maybe knockout of the year. So that was going on this weekend. You were in Quebec. I was in New York City on the stage with Tyson and Jake Paul, being part of that whole build up, which, you know, there was a lot of fans in there. Very excited. People are very excited for this. You say what you want about this fight, but the range of viewership and the range of audience for this is crazy. Like 7 and 8 year olds that I was talking to outside the press conference that love Jake Paul, who have no idea who Mike Tyson is. Their dads.
It's so crazy.
Their dads telling them who Mike Tyson is, like right in front of me. Like young girls that want to watch. Like, I just think it's going to be one of the most watched sporting events of the last 50 years, just because of the two names involved. So from that standpoint, I'm very interested in it.
I'd like to see what the DraftKings over-under of this fight actually happening are, because I'm going to bet that it's not.
Well, a big part of the discussion on stage, was hosted by Ryan Clark, was, Mike, you had your stomach problems. Jake was making fun of it, calling it a tummy ache. Like, a lot of it was like, are you ready? Or were you scared? Or are you this? Are you that? And Mike's like, yeah, I'm terrified. Like, sarcastic. Yeah, I'm terrified. But from everything I'm hearing, it's happening. And as long as Mike can hold up in training, November 15th at Jerry World, we will see Mike Tyson in the ring against Jake Paul. That's where I was at.
Here's a question for you, Dan. If he were to use put some extra sauce on his rigatoni, do we really care? I mean, he's 60.
Well, it is in Texas. It is a professional. It's all going on his record. So I don't know the VADA situation. I don't know what's going on with that. It's not like it's like an exhibition where you can, like, there's, you know, throw caution to the wind and just throw everything out there.
This is a real fight that could go on his record.
It's a real fight.
Absolutely insane.
Jake Paul mentioned that yesterday. He goes, BoxRec. He's like, you're going to go to BoxRec on November 16th and you're going to see another loss, a knockout loss on your record. And
yeah, I'm sure that was, I mean, exactly what Jake Paul wants. That's literally what he wants.
Mike Tyson's last fight would be a loss to Jake Paul. Also, like,
I mean, his last fight was a loss to what? Kevin McBride. Which is, I think is maybe worse than Jake Paul.
Can we scrub that from BoxRec? Things are getting scrubbed from BoxRec these days. WBA doesn't exist anymore in BoxRec. Maybe we can scrub Mike Tyson's loss to Kevin McBride. Also, I wanted to ask Mike about his dream blunt rotation. Wasn't able to get a hold of him yesterday. But he has smoked weed
before. Blunt rotation?
Yeah, you know what a blunt rotation is?
Like who's in your circle?
Yeah.
Wow.
I will ask him that at some point. I'll get him and ask him that.
What a time we live in. You used to ask, who would you want to have dinner with? Now, who do you want in your blunt pass circle?
But it's Mike Tyson. That's why, because he's synonymous with weed. But like he smoked weed before fights towards the end of his career.
It showed. The end of his career is not very good. It showed.
In Texas, you can't do that. Not that it, like, who cares? He probably doesn't even care about the penalty. But remember Keyshawn Davis?
Yeah.
He got suspended, or like he got a no contest because they found weed in the system. I'm curious if he's going to be blazing it up.
He is, and they're going to let it slide. He's going to fail the test, and they're just going to go.
Push it through. Who cares? So that's what was going on this weekend. It wasn't the biggest boxing weekend. Chris, you have some stuff from Montreal. Let's get into
Quebec. Quebec City, Canada.
That's what I meant, not Montreal. Montreal would have been a little bit cooler, no?
Yes, Montreal's way cooler. Quebec City is super small. It's cool. It's like it's very like European-esque, but it's small. You got to go old Quebec because there's literally nothing else around.
You know, to if it wasn't for boxing. Like boxing brought you there. Like you probably wouldn't go there on your own, right? You take it all in.
I would never go there otherwise. I would have before I went, but now that I've been there, I'm like, all right, I'm good. I ate at two of the best restaurants that are there, and I'm good. I saw what I had to see. I definitely don't want to go there when it's snowing. Because apparently,
hammered. Did you hear they got stuck there once?
Last fight they did there was in February of this year. I was not working that show, thankfully, but no one got out. Everyone got trapped in there, and there's no easy way to get there. Everything is like I had to take a layover yesterday in Newark.
You don't do layovers. You're in Newark?
In Newark, yeah.
Could have said hi.
No.
Not that I live anywhere near Newark, close.
No.
Dude, it was pouring too.
Sunday,
like,
I want to get
home. You got out of there. Like it was some bad weather in New York City.
Yeah, they were warning us about the first leg of the trip, which was from Quebec City to Newark. I mean, turbulence the entire time, no service done because no one could stand. I mean, we're going bump, 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 bump for an hour.
Are you a nervous flyer when you see turbulence? Do you lock in?
Nah, I got this. I've lived a good life. This could be it. I'm good.
I always think that too. It's like I'm in the seat. What can I do at this point? Like,
I mean, there's nothing for me to do here. I've done it a lot. It'll be a headline, whatever.
Chris Algieri, former world champion Chris Algieri, and 200 other passengers go down.
It would be like when Rocky Marciano died. You know, he got decapitated on a flight. You know, whatever.
I didn't know that. Wow. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. Pretty sure he got decapitated. But yeah, he definitely died on a flight.
Holy shit. I didn't know that.
A lot of guys did back then. I think Marcel Cerdan also died on a plane crash.
I did not know that. I just pulled up Instagram just to check it. And this Devin Haney video. Did you see that?
Oh, the fight? I got a lot of Devin Haney with that.
Devin Haney punched a civilian at what looks like a fair, like a summer fair. Apparently this guy used the N-word. Then he like punched him and then walked away. And then his team just jumped the guy.
And Homeboy wanted to fight the whole crew. He was fine with going 1-on-5. No worries at all.
Who?
The guy that was getting attacked. Like he was okay fighting all five of them. No problem.
Yeah. He probably wanted that story. I beat up Devin Haney.
Well, also Haney had a bunch of lames with him. Not one of those guys could fight. Like it was wild. It was wild to see these grown men throwing punches like children, and no one land a punch. Nobody knew how to fight. Nobody knew how to wrestle. Nothing.
If you're gonna be punching civilians, you might as well go all out and just really go in on the guy because you're gonna get in some type of lawsuit or that guy's gonna find you. Ryan Garcia got a hold of it, of course, and was like, "Find me that civilian, and I will teach him how to beat a Haney." He's posting it nonstop and all that, and like, you know, someone tweeted at me like, "You won't talk about this on the podcast." I was like, "Well, here we are talking about Devin Haney.
We won't talk about this on the podcast. Why not?"
Right? I don't know. Someone thought we wouldn't talk about it. Someone thought we were Devin Haney apologists, so we wouldn't discuss him punching a fan.
First thing I'm going to talk about with Devin Haney, bro, you're a grown man. Why are you at a fair? What are you doing at a fair?
Getting some prizes.
With five of your boys. I mean, you go to a fair with like your girlfriend. You don't go to a fair with five grown men.
Or we used to get dropped off like a big van of dudes, and then the girls show up in like eighth grade. And then we all right. meet.
So the missing caveat to that story was in eighth grade, not when you're a 25-year-old millionaire, multimillionaire who's famous. Like, why are you at a
fair? I think that's like a Vegas thing. I think that's like a...
No, it was... So I was talking to Christina Poncher, who I caught the call with on Saturday night.
Oh, you got the details on this fight?
Right by her house where she grew up. And like, that's like, it's like a big deal, but she's like, but also he doesn't live anywhere near there. So like, if you're like a local, like she's like, yeah, I might go to that, but like, not if I'm a world champion multimillionaire.
He threw a left. I'm watching that.
He didn't land. Though. That's another thing. Like, people are talking about kind of power. He didn't really land the punch. So I don't think
that's what I mean. It's like, come on, bro. You got the reputation of being kind of not the biggest puncher. And then you went and did that. Yeah. So Devin Haney got into it this weekend. So there was another fight this weekend. Devin Haney. Let's talk about what we saw in the ring Saturday night. Christian Mabili gets a decision win. Should have been a stoppage. Andre Rozier was looking for blood on Saturday night. Did not stop the fight despite Derevchenko pretty much rupturing his bicep in the second or third round. I think coiled up. One-arm fighter. Mabili looked okay. Didn't look great. He looked like Christian Mabili. If you did, this is your first time watching Christian Mabili, you were like, oh, wow, he's exciting. Oh, wow, he has flaws. Oh, wow, why couldn't he get Derevchenko out of there? Derevchenko's tough as hell. Good God, that guy has got the respect of every boxing fan out there. Fights with one arm, stung Mabili a few times down the stretch, and makes it to the final bell despite taking too much punishment in those final 6 minutes of the fight. But Mabili gets the win. Your biggest takeaways from Christian Mabili's performance, because he is now a guy at 168.
Well, I got to talk about Sergey first. Sergey, absolute warrior, incredible. I didn't agree that the fight needed to be stopped. I got asked on air. I said, no, he didn't. There was no point in the fight, any of those last couple rounds where you're like, he's completely out of it. He was still competitive with the one hand. He wasn't winning rounds, but he was still competitive and he wanted to fight. If he showed any reluctance to want to go back out there, I say stop the fight. But I know Sergey personally. I know how he trains. I know that corner. I know Dre. I've trained with Dre for years. I know Gary Stark Sr. I know these people. And there's no way that they were gonna stop that fight unless Sergey was either one, really getting completely washed, or he just didn't want to fight. And neither one of those things happened. So there's really no reason to stop the fight.
I don't mean to interrupt. Did you see? You were right there. You were calling the fight for Top Rank International. They went to him in the eighth or ninth round. And were like, do you want to continue? And he wasn't like demonstratively saying yes. He was
I saw that as well, but
he was also giving like a no yes type of answer to me. To me, I don't know. You would know him better.
But then he went out there and like won the next round.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
You know, like, so that's the thing. It's like Dre said, I'll give you one more round. And he went out there and it was the best round he had. And actually hurt. I think that was the round where he actually hurt Mabili. And it was like, all right, well, he just did enough to stay in. Every time it was like he wasn't doing enough to win in those rounds, but he was doing enough where it was just like, yeah, I can see why you wouldn't stop it. Yeah, the whole time. Listen, I know him personally. I don't want anybody to get hurt. I don't, especially don't want Sergey to get hurt. He's one of the nicest guys in the sport. But I'm watching this. I'm like, if I'm him, I don't stop the fight. Don't stop the fight. I'm gonna be heartbroken if you stop this fight. You know, if I was doing what he was doing in there, he made a stand to fight with that one hand, and Dre was asking him. He was like, Can you do this? The one round when he's really wanted to stop it. He's like, you know, because the other guys wanted to stop it. And Dre's like, listen.
That was the eighth.
Yeah. He's like, can you do this with just the one hand? You got to tell me. And then he went out there and he had a good round. And I was like, all right, well, we're getting to the end now. But if you talk to Sergey now, I think I'm actually going to try and get him on one of the ProBox TV shows. He's not going to have any problems with how that fight went. I guarantee it. You know, and the bicep, that sucks. I heard he hurt his chest as well. And just 38 years old, man. 38-year-old body. Guys, listen, it's not the will that stops us from fighting. It's our bodies. You know, when the will's gone, I don't care how old you are. You can be 25. If your will's gone, you're done. But when you're 40 or you're 38 or you're 37 and the will's there, but the body won't compete the same way, you're done too. So there's a lot of ways to end a career. I don't think we should see Sergey again.
I hope not. I mean,
his body's telling us, and he's took a lot of damage in his career. So,
yeah, I mean, Mabili landed 51 punches over the final two rounds. That's the one thing that you can point to. Like, all right, that was just unnecessary punishment. Derevchenko was not going to win the fight. A lot of the discussion after the fight was about Derevchenko. Like, it was about should this fight have been stopped. It was about his arm. It was not so much about Mabili.
Well, and that Mabili was very underwhelming.
That's what I mean. My point was, like, this was a fight that was made for Mabili to get a really nice win over a guy that has never been stopped, the fight would have been stopped because of an injury. It wouldn't have been like Mobili like took it out of him, even though I thought he did win every round, or basically every round, maybe two rounds to Derevchenko, those middle rounds where he wobbled Mobili a little bit. But the main takeaway was like, all right, this was an ESPN main event. Mobili's coming off of like five great performances in a row. He's at 168 pounds. He's now signed with Top Rank in his co-promotional deal. You know, he's fan-friendly. So let's get – if he can get a win over Derevchenko, an impressive win over Derevchenko, this is going to, you know, get people talking and get us – like this show right here, talking about him potentially facing a Canelo, potentially facing a Munguia. But he was underwhelming. You know, I think a good jab would befuddle this guy. Like, Derevchenko is just a shorter guy, so he didn't have, like – that good of crisp of a jab.
Yeah, he has a good jab, but when your bicep is left hand. He stopped using the left hand entirely in the fourth round. He's actually landing good jabs during the fight.
Kept stopping Mobili's right dead in his tracks. A good jab would stop Mobili,
yep,
and he would get decision nonstop.
He squares his feet when he throws punches. He falls forward. He's so open for uppercuts, which is what Gongora hurt him with. He punches super wide. I haven't seen him. So the first time I called him in Billy fight, it was one of the first times he fought on a Top Rank card, and it was undercard. It was long before they ever signed him. And I remember there being a lot of hype about him, and I was like, okay, I'm not very impressed. And that was ingrained in me like from then on. And then I was thinking, I'm like, this guy's never going to make it. And then he has this run and he gains a lot of momentum. People are talking about him, a lot of hype. He beats Gongora, which was impressive to me. I think Gongora is a very tough fighter, especially when he beat him. So I kind of started believing the hype a little bit, not making my own decision. And then I see him again, live again. And I'm like, oh no, it's just the exact same guy. I remember when I saw him, however many years ago, he's just not improved. He's just an engine guy. I don't see him being, any kind of threat to any of the top guys.
Well, he's going to get these opportunities because
he's going to fight Canelo next.
Let's be honest. Christian Mobili is at 168 pounds. He's top rated by all the organizations. He's top three by all of them. Canelo Alvarez is at 168 pounds. Canelo Alvarez is satisfying his mandatories, and Edgar Belonga is one of them. Will Canelo Alvarez fight Christian Mobili in his next three fights?
Yes. I think probably Mobili will get one more fight, and they're gonna give him a real easy touch. And then it's going to be Canelo in May.
You believe?
They're not going to risk it.
Is this something you've heard this weekend, or is this just a general Chris Algieri feeling?
No, I thought this throughout. So it's so funny. I had so many people, even before this fight, even on like the Top Rank side, they were like, there's no way Canelo's going to fight this guy, thinking like he's a world beater. And I was like, I'm looking around like, why would he not? I mean,
well, your colleague Tim Bradley said it on the air.
That he's going to fight him?
Yes.
This was last week in Albuquerque.
No. This is Bradley said. Tim Bradley said on the telecast, Canelo is not going to want any part of Christian Mobili.
Oh no! See, that's what I mean. People are saying that. I'm like, well, why not? He's tailor made. Did you watch the fight? Tailor made.
I think like my golf clubs, tailor made.
I think Munguia and Mobili is a fun fight, but I would lean with Munguia in that fight. I think he's.
Dude, Munguia will one to him all night.
Yeah. He's
Munguia has a great one too. Jab, uppercut. Mobili's gonna be putting him with his head. Dude, but he is fun.
And then falls forward with his rear foot.
Fun though. He's fun. Very he's fun. A name at 168. Like, it's a division that's thinned out.
One of the nicest guys I've ever heard in the fighter meeting. Like he came in, I'm like, how do you not love this guy? Like he was so nice and endearing and energetic and like very looks you in your eye, like very, very nice human being. But in terms of his skill level at the world class, I don't see it.
Listen, if Canelo says he wants to fight like five more times, like one of them could potentially be Christian Mobili. He's at 168. He's a come forward fighter. His record, he's got the record. I mean, they can do it. You know, it'll be an easy negotiation. I would not be shocked if I see Canelo fight him over his next like 3 to 5 fights. But in the meantime, like there are some really good fights for Christian Mobili to have out there, like that make more sense than a Canelo Alvarez fight. Jaime Munguia is now signed with Top Rank. He's fighting this month or next month with Top Rank, which I think is a cool, awesome partnership. Munguia showed himself pretty well in a Canelo fight. He's a fan-friendly fighter as well. Munguia Mobili. Now we're talking. Action.
Like that fight. Like that fight a lot.
Do it. Make it. Like, I don't know if Mobili will do that because he might have his eyes on Canelo. He might be in that Canelo waiting room where you just kind of like Plant did a few years ago. You just take 9-10 months off and wait for Canelo. But who knows? I like Babili Munguia a lot. Like, who do you think comes out in that one?
Yeah, I mean, everyone's going to compare the Sergey Derevyanchenko fights to both of them, if you know, because if this is fight is to be made, because Munguia struggled mightily with Sergey and had to score a late round knockdown, to get the decision. But it was a little bit younger Sergey, and it was a two-fisted Sergey. So the injury, I think, actually robbed Mumbili of having a breakout performance, because if he had to really struggle and like that turned into a 7-5 fight where he had to overcome, and I'm sorry, 7-3 or a 6-4 because it was a 10-round fight. I forgot it was a 10-rounder, which is another reason I'm not crazy upset that the fight was stopped. It wasn't stopped. But yeah, if he had a win over a two-fisted Sergey Kovalev, I'm sorry, Sergey Derevyanchenko, people wouldn't just be talking about Sergey's arm. They'd be talking about, wow, do you see Mumbili, you know, overcome Sergey, who's, you know, tough with everybody? And I think there would have been a better comparison. But for now, the only comparison is going to be like, well, I beat him, you know, 9-1, 10-zip, and you struggled. You needed a knockdown to get him. So, you know, people are going to try and think the favor in Billy, but I don't. I would favor Munguia.
No, I would definitely think Munguia is the favorite. He's got more experience. He's got better opponent, better opposition. He's just further ahead in his development. It will still be a fun fight.
I like Munguia. He's a fun guy too, but I think I like him as a in terms of his style and the way he's been progressing. I think he's improving.
Yeah, 168 is strange because you got Canelo obviously at the top, Benavidez and Morel leave. Like, it's pretty thin after that. It's Munguia, who already fought Canelo. It's Mbili, Caleb Plant, who has already fought Canelo.
Did you see this Osles Iglesias, the Cuban?
Yeah, he's really good.
He's I was ringside. That power's real, dude. He was throwing some heavy heat.
Yeah. But a lot of like I put out a tweet. It was saying like, what's your biggest takeaway from Christian Mbili, or what's his ceiling? And the overwhelming majority of the responses were, you know, fun fighter, but he struggled with a one-armed fighter. Because you know what I mean? So that was like the biggest takeaway from this fight, where they made the fight for Mbili to look good and really have a coming out party. But the biggest takeaway afterwards was he couldn't get a 38-year-old guy out of there who had an injury. He couldn't help cash my bet. Not that it's about me and my bet. I had a Mbili stoppage. And I'm getting to like the seventh round, and I'm like, all right, Derevyanchenko's going to survive. He's just too damn tough. And then they're talking like stoppage the whole time. Like, stop the fight with the arm. Tessitore's like, and there we go. After the ninth round, that will be the last round of this fight because they are going to stop it. Then they go to Rozier in the corner, and he's like, great round, son. One more. And I'm like, oh my God.
I knew.
I don't care that much about my
bets. I thought the opposite. I was like, once they got past nine, I'm like, oh, they're not stopping this.
Right. And it was just so funny because Joe was so adamant that we're going to stop it and the fight was going to end after nine. And then it was almost like comedic timing. They went right to the corner and Rozier and his whole corner is like, yeah, you got this, brother. You're going to finish this fight. And I don't care. Like, yeah, I lost the bet. Who cares? But like, I'd rather see like a good fight, rather see a good finish. Derevyanchenko, I hope, doesn't fight again. But, you know, was there talk of him wanting to go on after?
I didn't get any inclination from any of the interviews that I saw from him that he wanted to stop. So, but he might, dude, he got that bicep is going to take a very long time. I think he's going to be 39 in a couple months. You know, you're looking at least a year before he's even able to get back in the ring with a torn bicep. Cause you gotta repair that thing.
He's done. His wife couldn't even look. I hate when they do show that. They show the wives or the girlfriend.
Yeah.
She couldn't even look over her seat.
That's his wife. She actually, cause his English is not great. Hers is very good. So she was in the fighter meeting with us and she
translator
helps translate. Yeah.
Yeah. So, we'll see what's next for Christian Mbili, whether it's Canelo, whether it's Munguia. He will go back to the gym. I'm sure.
He got hurt too. He said he hurt his shoulder. So we got to see how injured he was, if it was really an injury or not. Did you see that? Did you remember that weird punch where he got hit in the leg and hyperextended his knee? They showed the replay. I think it was like round six or so. And I mean, it was one of those where, like, you know those like weightlifting videos where they come out and you can't watch them? The way his knee hyperextended the wrong way, I was like, oh God.
But
I talked to people after, I was like, no, his knee's fine. I was like, okay, wow.
And that was Mbili.
Mbili, yes.
Hmm.
He got like punched in the thigh and hyperextended his knee.
Oh,
very weird.
I've never seen anything like that.
All right. Well, he'll have to come back and see, we'll see what's going to happen with and Billy at 168. Guido Villanelli or Vianello? Is it Guido Villanelli or Guido Villanello?
I thought it's Vianello.
Guido Villanello, our Paisan, a friend of the show, gets a destructive win over one of the scariest looking heavyweights I've ever seen. Guido looked great. He was bouncing around in there. That's now two big wins for him in a row. He's a player now. You know, with Top Rank having this Riyadh season partnership, this is how it works. You win a few heavyweight fights, you are in the mix now to fight any of the top 10 heavyweights, probably in Saudi Arabia. And he seems, like what you said, is just a good dude. I hope Top Rank like pushes him more because they were on the verge of cutting him after his last fight. And now he's on the verge of getting who knows how many millions to fight in Riyadh. That's the beauty of boxing. Well, the beauty of heavyweights.
Of cutting him before the FA Ajagba fight, and then he looked really good in that fight and arguably won that fight. And then this fight, obviously, was another kind of sink or swim opportunity, and he looked great. He boxed beautifully. He showed his athleticism. Very, very confident. That was the biggest takeaway I took from this fight from him. The confidence level of Guido is at a different level. And listen, he could always punch. He's got a lot of knockouts in his short career. He's a big guy, 6'6". You know, and he's got that movement, athleticism, big amateur background as well. You know, these guys actually fought in the amateurs, I think a couple times. Makhmudov,
the gladiator. He's only 30 years old.
Yeah. I mean, and just, I know Top Rank like him as a person. Like, he's just a super nice, affable guy. His team's great. But, you know, like now he's actually, like you said, he's a player.
Yeah, get this guy, market him. He's Italian. Like, he's literally from Italy. He's born in Roma, lives in Vegas. Get some marketing behind this guy because he's fun. And that was a
a good looking Italian heavyweight who's athletic and can punch a little bit. I mean, yeah.
Does he speak English?
Great. Perfect English.
Oh, perfect. Makhmudov, one of the scariest looking heavyweights, one of the most unathletic heavyweights I've ever seen. And this was a hard fight to pick because people were asking me, "What are your thoughts? Are you betting one way?" I'm like, "I don't know enough. Like, I don't know enough about Makhmudov. I know he's a scary looking guy. If you went just off of pictures, you would be like, all right, Makhmudov's going to win." But I would never bet that way, so I didn't really know what to do. But that guy just took a beating. His eye was basically shut after the second or third round. He made Guido look like he was bouncing in and looking like a super athlete. He was so slow. He was just couldn't get out of the way of any punches. I mean, that eye was nasty, and then it just ended up stopping it in the eighth round. But, you know, had we known that, I think Guido money line was like +200. So that was obviously the bet in hindsight.
We were all talking about it before that fight. We were like, how's this going to go? Like, I don't know. Like, and people are asking me, like, is it crazy to think that Guido can win? I'm like, no, not at all. No, he can absolutely win. I called one of Makhmudov's fights in an undercard of off TV bout of a Top Rank show. And I was just like, this guy is not good. He's just big and hits hard. And he showed that. It's exactly what he showed against Guido. And you mentioned that he couldn't get away from any of those punches and the eye injury. He couldn't get away from those punches before the eye injury. And then once the eye injury was there, I was like, what are we doing? I can't believe they let it go on as long as they did. Because he was getting tuned up from beginning to end, could not get out of the way, took a ton of punches, cut, eye swollen, getting rocked over and over again. Never went down, though. Never went down. Did show some good resilience.
Never went down. Dickie Eklund.
You never got me down, Guido. You never got me down, Guido.
Well, that was like the story of the night on Saturday night. It was like injuries. It was the eye of Makhmudov, and then everyone screaming, stop the fight. What are we doing? And then the bicep of Derevchenko. Abdullah Mason, he fought early on the card. A late replacement got him out of there really fast. Was he supposed to be on the main card, or was this always the move for him to be on the undercard? Because I feel like his last fight was ESPN.
Not sure. I don't know who he was supposed to fight before. You know, they got O'Hearn, who, you know, he got stopped by Tiger Fox.
Tiger Johnson.
Tiger Fox. I was just watching a Instagram video of Tiger Fox.
Tiger Johnson. Tiger Fox sounds like a badass name.
Yeah. Tiger Johnson got the kid out in 5 rounds. Abdullah got him out in 2. Abdullah's really, really good, progressing great. We've talked about him on our air before. got to meet his family, who is also aka his team. Just a well-oiled machine, super respectful, great group of young men. Father's awesome. They're all very excited about what's going on, but really about their business, man. Did you see the interview with him, with Kriegel, because the fight was so short?
No. What I did see was Top Rank did a little like video with him where they showed him things from the 90s,
mm-hmm.
like Sony PlayStation, Discman.
That was a Dan Canobio-esque video.
I know. I'm not going to say they're copying me, but a lot of them do.
A lot of organizations imitation, are copying the Dan on the street.
Imitation is the highest form of flattery. But
I think it's checks. Checks are the highest form of flattery. That's a misnomer. People say that. It's not. It's actually money.
Checks, like money?
Money. Yes. Yeah, money is the highest form of flattery.
I love that as well. I did see the video with Abdullah doing that, and I thought he came off really well. He didn't know what a cassette tape was. He thought a PlayStation was a CD player.
That's awesome.
He's like 20. I mean, I did want to know, like, yeah, you did the meetings with him, like, what he's about, because I feel like we're going to find out soon. We're
kid in that is stage now. Locked in on boxing. Locked in. Respectful, great
team
family.
Around him, though, you said.
Good team around him. He's, you know, so he knocked out O'Hearn in two rounds, dominated. I mean, beautiful. I mean, it was textbook. And because we had time to quote unquote fill on the broadcast, he went up to the desk and was interviewed by Kriegel for like 5 minutes.
Oh, I missed that. Yeah, I missed
so that. So and I told him and his family afterwards, I was like, hey, I'm like, listen, you're going to get more attention from that interview than you did from the fight itself. Yeah, you got a great knockout, but you know, you had a guy who was overmatched, not on paper, but obviously was. But the way he handled that interview, and the dad was like, "Oh, I didn't see it was a good." I was like, "It was great. It was perfect. It was just like his fight. It was just, it was clinical. It was calm. It was cool. It was relaxed. But it hit hard." So he's talking about his family, you know, blaming, you know, he got asked like, "Why are you the way that you are?" And he's like, oh, "I got a good mom and dad, you know, and just talking about family. It was just awesome. Really, really good interview. Very, very likable kid."
Yeah, so I feel like we're gonna learn a lot about him. We just don't know much now. So like these little things we're seeing.
Yeah.
Hopefully they get him back. Hopefully they put him on regular ESPN. I know a few people were like, "Who is this Can that he's fighting? This is a late replacement. Like this is the first 10 fights of this guy's career. Like Top Rank."
And the guy had a ton of experience and like a good record.
Right. Top Rank knows what they're doing when it comes to developing young talent. You can say what you want about when the fighters get to like Crawford's stature or Shakur's stature. Or Floyd's stature, where they want to leave. There's no doubt that Top Rank knows how to build a star, and they know how to nurture a young career. And Abdullah Mason is in great hands. I'm very, very, very excited to see where he goes in the next couple of years. He was early on the card. Didn't really promote him too much on this one. I wish they would have promoted him a little more. We will end the show with our top five upcoming fights. I feel like right now, Chris, we are in like a little bit of a slow period. It's the end of the summer. We're gearing up for the fall. You know, middle of the summer is when they do a lot of big fights. So I want to look forward to the fall. I want to look forward to the rest of the year. And I don't know if you made a list. I have a list. We can just talk about some of the fights. Number five, I have Canelo Berlanga. It's going down September 14th on PPV.com. Stream it on PPV.com. Join us in the live chat. Order it on PPV.com. I know you will, everyone out there. Like we said before, Canelo is getting up there. He's still looking good. He's still knocking guys down. Will he get a knockout win? I think Berlanga is smart. I wouldn't say smart, but I think Berlanga, he is smart. I think he's strong. I think he's big. And I think he does not care. Like, he's going to get in there and be like, I'm going in here. I got nothing to lose. I think it's actually going to be a decent scrap. Right now, people are just poo-pooing it. Decent scrap. Berlanga, Canelo, 9-14.
I agree. I think it's a fun fight. And I keep saying this on air. Canelo's leaving us soon. We're not getting Canelo fight weekends anymore in a couple of years. And it's a scary thought, especially for us big boxing fans, especially guys who have been to Canelo fight weeks. They're a ton of fun. And his fights are fun. The events are great. They're big. They have a certain feel to them. He is a bona fide star still to this day, even when he fights guys that we don't want him to be fighting. He's not fighting the best guys in the world. It's still a spectacle and it's still fun. I agree with you. I think Berlanga is the opposite of smart. He's dumb enough to fight, you know, like that's going to make the fight fun. You know, I don't think he's going in there fighting with his brains. I think he's going in there fight with his balls. And I think we need that because a lot of people I think a lot of guys decide they don't want to win when they're in there with Canelo, a.k.a. Charlo. Even Munguia to a degree. I think he decided at one point in that fight, he's like, he's just better than me. I'm not going to win. Caleb Plant.
Well, and also, I didn't like, but you said this to me, and it caught my eye. Like, Munguia was so respectful and was like, you know, this is my Mexican idol. You know, Canelo was like, put his hand on his shoulder, like zero animosity.
He big brothered him the whole time.
And Berlanga, that's not the case. I thought Berlanga is perfect, playing the heel perfectly. Play the heel, just like Jake Paul's playing the heel. Play the heel. Everyone hates you anyway. They don't think you deserve this. You're getting tons of money. You're wearing tons of jewelry. Play it up and don't respect Canelo in there. And that second press conference got me legit pumped for this fight, and I think a lot of fans as well. So play that role, Berlanga. Be the heel. I think we got a decent fight. And it will say a lot about Canelo. I think we're going to learn a lot about Canelo, where he's at, how serious is he taking this fight? Does he have knockout power? I know he has knockdown power.
Probably put this fight higher on the scale.
There's some good ones coming up. Yeah. That's why I have it as number 5. The whole card should be fun. Danny Garcia is returning against Arizona. Lara Roly Romero is on the card. What's some of the other fights on there? Should be a fun night of fights on PPV.com. Number 4, Anthony Joshua versus Daniel Dubois. September 21st, quickly approaching, a month away, at Wembley Stadium, not in Riyadh, not in one of these makeshift arenas with 300 fans in there, and you can hear a pin drop. 100,000, they were speculating. Wow. 80 to 100,000, could be wrong. Don't quote me on that. We know that Wembley holds that many. We've seen AJ at Wembley. This is what made AJ AJ, fighting the Klitschkos, fighting the Povetkins at these big stadiums. I'm very excited for this fight. I'm excited for the pageantry and the hoopla and all that, but I just think it's going to be a good fight, Chris. I think Daniel Dubois is on a heater. He is overcome the bully status, and he's trying to bully Anthony Joshua when they're in the same room together. He's dressing better, Daniel Dubois, because did you see what he wore to the Jake Paul a few years ago? It resurfaced on the internet. He was wearing leggings and a leather jacket, Danny Dubois.
Wow. I mean,
it's one of the strangest outfits ever, and it was for a Jake Paul.
Well, he's French,
fight.
Right?
I don't know what he is. He's a bad dresser, I'll tell you.
Dubois, I mean, he's French. So, yeah, I mean, that's not surprising at all.
you have so many eyeballs. It was Jake Paul versus Fury, I believe. He was on that card.
You gotta be out there, man. When you're in the spotlight, you wanna make a splash. You gotta take risks.
I'm pulling it up right now. It's
with
the
fashion,
weirdest
you gotta
outfit.
Take risks.
But, no, this wasn't fashion, bro. This was just like
I mean, it's a fashion
someone
to a degree.
This was like, hey, like, do you know that today's the press conference? Oh my god, I had a rush there. I'm wearing leggings. Anyone
maybe
have a jacket I can wear?
And just threw his leather jacket on.
Other than that, hell of a fight we got between Dubois and Joshua. Can Dubois pull off the upset?
Yes.
Because Joshua's on another level right now.
Yes. I love this fight. I think I'm very excited for this fight. This is another one I would probably have higher on the list than you do. I'm very much looking forward to this fight. We got two giant heavyweights, two guys who are super physical, two guys that look like Adonises, two guys who can really punch. And Dubois has shown a really good chin. Anthony Joshua, not so much. So you got two guys who can really deliver, who can really hit. It's like it's who is going to be able to land. That's really going to be the deciding factor, because I think power punching wise, I think they can both knock each other out. But Joshua is way more fragile than Dubois.
Joshua's more fragile than Dubois. Okay. Yeah. Oh, that's the thing about Dubois. Everyone says that he's fragile.
No, he's mentally not physical, not physically fragile.
Well, he did go down to Usyk and he did quote unquote quit in that fight. I don't use that word.
He got mentally broken down, and I refrain. He is not French. Sorry, guys.
He's not French, but he is a bad dresser.
Grenada, and he is British.
Can you see this?
Can I see what?
What I'm holding on the screen. That's a picture of Dubois' outfit. Yeah,
are they leggings or what?
Those are leggings. Those are leggings. They have some type of
sheen to them.
Adidas. It says Adidas.
Oh wow.
On the side,
maybe
he's wearing
from the gym.
Crusty Adidas sneakers, and he's got some type of like leather, like a huge leather jacket.
Dude, I can defend him now, because that looks like he just came from the gym and was like, oh shit, this thing is right here. Oh, let me show up. I got a jacket on because it's cold out. I wear a jacket to the gym, but
But then when, not that like I'm critiquing this guy's outfits, but then
you,
when
mean,
he went
kind of are.
I kind of am. When he went after Joshua in their little sit down, he was wearing a French cuff shirt. Like obviously you fold it and you put the cufflinks in.
Yeah,
but classic. He didn't fold it, so it looked like one long ass, like it went past his fist. It was like a really long extension of the shirt, and I was like, this guy, even when he tries to like spruce it up, like does he have a team? Does he have a girlfriend? Does he have like someone that could be like, bro, you're supposed to fold that? Like Frank Warren is impeccably dressed all the time,
right?
Like,
right.
Bro, you're in the room with Joshua. Like, well, fold your freaking
British
French cuff.
Man. The Brits have good fashion sense. They understand like fine suits and stuff.
Right, they were the 3-piece suits. Like yeah. Hearn, if Hearn was his promoter, Hearn would be like, hey buddy, like come on, what are we doing with
mate,
this shirt?
What are you doing here? You gotta fold that up.
Despite all that, I think it's gonna be a great fight, and that's number 4 on my.
Oh,
list.
I just pulled up the picture with the French cuff not rolled up, but he's wearing a nice.
Looks like a cast.
He's wearing a nice outfit there.
I love that whole back and forth they had. Daniel Dubois was like, "We can go right now," and Josh was like, "Don't you dare disrespect me, Daniel! Dare disrespect me! You know who I am. I'm Anthony Joshua. Damn it, respect me."
He's trying to big brother him now. I
love
it.
That. Number 3 on my list is a fight that we're getting at Jerry World on. November 15th, Katie Taylor, Amanda Serrano 2. Their first fight was probably the best women's fight I've ever seen. Definitely. The atmosphere was off the charts. I still expect the atmosphere to be off the charts because there's going to be 70,000 at Jerry World for Mike Tyson and Jake Paul. It's going down 140 pounds. I was with Amanda Serrano last month at one of these MVP shows. She's putting on the pounds. She's putting on the muscle. She's never fought at 140. But she's embracing it. She says this will probably be where my career goes from here on out, as fighting at 140. Katie Taylor has a huge win over Chantel Cameron in the rematch. Love this fight. Wish we got it like a year ago, but we're getting it in November, and I still think both have enough left to give us another thrilling fight.
I disagree. I don't like
it. What do you mean you disagree?
I don't really look forward to this fight. I would put this way down on the list. Not that I'm not looking forward to it at all.
They're going to bang.
Are they, though?
That's all they know how to do.
It's taken too long for this rematch to be made. Yes, the first fight was awesome. I mean, best women's fight in history. I was there. Great, great fight. Amanda hasn't looked good since then. I'll put that out there, number one. Taylor split 2 fights with Cameron. She looked great in the second fight, really, to pull it out. Really dug deep in that fight. She's getting older, too. I don't know. I think they're just both older. I think they're both not as good as they were the first time they fought. And I think that at this weight class, it really, really aids Taylor.
She's just been there longer. She's been at 140
been there longer.
Longer.
Serrano fought at like 122, like 2 years ago. Like she's a much
she looks
smaller,
good though, man.
She looks good. I'm sure she puts on muscle, but she's just a smaller person.
Yeah.
Have you been around Katie?
Yes. At the first press conference, Tyson.
Katie's not small. I hugged Katie when we were in Liverpool. She is made out of coiled steel. I mean, and she is like, she's a wide-shouldered woman. She's powerfully built.
Bro. It's at 140 because that's what Katie Taylor wanted. She won the first fight. She's the 140-pound champ.
Katie, you know, like when I've been, Taylor's been on my undercards before. I fought, you know, on cards with her. She's not a big woman. She hits really hard, but like I've hugged both women. They're made out of different things. Katie is going to fill in at 140 much better than Amanda. And at this age, I don't know. Maybe they'll put on another classic because they're both degraded from the last fight, but I don't know. I'm not that excited.
You know what they say, like when two fighters that are towards the end, but they still have something left, like maybe defense goes, maybe their first fight was fireworks.
An Ollie Frazier 3, you know, like.
And it's 2-minute rounds. That needs to be noted because Serrano's last 2 fights were 3-minute rounds. 2-minute rounds lend to more action.
And the 3-minute rounds has not aided her at all. She's much better at 2.
We'll see. I like that fight. Number 2 on my list of top 5 upcoming fights. Do we even get this fight towards the end of the year? I need to know. It's Fury versus Usyk 2. Turkey tweeted about it over the weekend. He's calling it Reignited. That is the name of the buildup for Fury Usyk 2. He says December 21st. I'm a little, I don't know if it happens December 21st. I think it happens, but I would not be shocked if it's like February of next year. Yeah. But according to Turkey, it's December 21st, Fury Usyk 2, reignited.
I agree. I don't know if this is going to happen on that date. And I am going to be a little more pessimistic than you, Dan. Optimistic, Dan. I don't know if this fight happens at all. I don't know if we actually get there. I don't know if Beterbiev actually gets through a camp to get there. And
oh,
if
we're talking
does,
Fury Usyk.
Oh, so, I'm sorry. Sorry.
You spoiled my number one, Chris.
We were talking about better. Oh, I'm see how excited I get. Yeah, spoiled. I spoiled my take on that one too. Yeah, this one probably doesn't happen. That date definitely happens though. Very excited for that fight though. Awesome yeah. fight. I mean, the first fight was fucking amazing, and very much difficult, very hard fight to pick who's winning. I don't really know.
The rematch, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because Fury, I thought like makes. A few little adjustments here.
Yeah.
He can not easily, he can win this rematch. If he decides to be and stay a 6'9" giant, he can win the rematch. If he decides to do what he did in the first fight, which I don't think he'll do again, dancing around, boxing,
play too much,
getting
yeah.
cute in there, he will lose again. But how do you bet against Usyk? All this guy does is win. The rematch is going to be huge. I hope it happens in December because that's what the momentum is. That fight stopped everything. Non-boxing fans were talking about it. It was a movie. That fight had everything. And it got a little overshadowed by the freaking Ryan Garcia, Devin Haney nonsense. But that right there was the fight of the year so far. Hope we get it again. But you're right. Like it's back to being a 50-50 fight because Fury was winning that fight. He was on his way to a decision
handily.
Win.
Handily. Before, he looked like... He was making it look easy, and he says that. And I don't blame him playing around at all. I just think that Usyk has another gear that he's able to turn up, and he did.
Was it him playing around, or was it more? Just give some credit to Usyk taking away some things and just still being there and still
No, I think it's just that because Fury's style is so free flowing that he has fun with it, and that's just what he does. And I don't think it takes away from him. I think it aids him fighting like that. So I'm hesitant to blame because he's doing a little like fake news thing. He's like, well, I was playing around. I was having too much fun. That's why I got caught. I don't think so. I think Usyk just turned it up and you were doing your best at what you do, which is that part of that is being free flowing and relaxed. And you got caught. So I'm not so sure I would blame the playing around. I don't know if he necessarily needs to change that, but he just needs to be tighter and better on his conditioning, especially taking body shots. Because that was like an underlooked aspect of that fight. Usyk was going hard to the body from round one. And Fury generally has a really good gas tank, but he felt like he tired a little bit. And that's why he got caught and hurt with those punches later on.
Yeah, I can't wait. I hope it happens in December. Like, don't push it to February. But if it happens in February, so be it. But get in December, a lot
great
of momentum.
Year ender.
Great year ender. And there isn't, that'd be awesome. Number one, Beterbiev Bivol, October 12th. Allegedly, supposedly, with an asterisk next to it. Bivol puts out a training video. Beterbiev puts out a training video as well. He's punching some leaves. Did you see that? Someone commented, he connects one of those leaves. He's out for a month.
That leaf is dead.
No. Not only that, his hand is like the comment was Beterbiev's hand. He's going to break his hand punching these leaves. He's going to be out for 4 weeks. This fight has been delayed.
Funny.
I love the internet sometimes. The comments
are
amazing.
Undefeated.
Supposedly we get this fight October 12th. You know all about it. It's two of the number two light heavyweights in the world. Top five pound for pound in the world, both guys. Two best of this generation in terms of 175 pounds. Style matchup. Perfect. We're getting it in Saudi Arabia October 12th. I still want to see more. From like to confirmation that this fight's happening, like what's the latest with Beterbiev's leg? Were you able to talk to anyone in Top Rank? Like, I know it's a torn meniscus. It's not the biggest injury, right? Like
no.
That's like from being a sports fan, I've seen torn meniscus. Like you can almost play through it, and it's a quick procedure. Like, have you heard anything like with Beterbiev how he's looking or feeling?
No, I had a torn meniscus going into the Spence fight, and I got surgery, and it was about 6 months of before I was like back to full.
Six
full
months.
Training.
So when did Beterbiev? When was this fight supposed to be? June.
Mm-hmm.
June, and I feel like May is when he got hurt, or late April.
Yeah, but he's 40. Healing time is different.
July, August, know? September, October. It's only 4 months. My math's correct. So you're like, I don't know. I this is exactly playing into why I believe. Like, I need more confirmation. I need to know what's going on with Beterbiev. Is this fight going to happen? That's all I want to know, because I'm excited as hell for it. This is like a true 50-50.
This is the best fight that can be made in the sport. Not in the weight class, not this year, in the sport right now. I don't think this fight happens, you know, the date that is. I don't know if a fight happens ever, honestly. I don't know if Better Beav get through a training camp. The amount of injuries that this guy has accrued in the last 2 years and how hard he trains and spars. I don't know, man. Aging bodies are different. We just saw Derevchenko tear his bicep, blow his pec out, you know, get super hurt, you know, throwing punches. It's just the body's not made to compete at this level, you know, when you get older.
It's a shame. It's a shame that that's kind of the narrative around Beterbiev. It's like he's not heading into this fight coming off of some like huge knockout wins, like after the Marcus Brown knockout win or some of the other wins that he had. Callum Johnson, Callum Johnson knocked him down. He had a lot of momentum going, and then it kind of halted He had a lot of momentum, and then it kind of halted because of the injuries. Bivol is Bivol. We know what you're going to get. We've watched him now kind of fill in on some of these cards where opponents have fallen out, whether it's Beterbiev or hasn't done much since the Canelo win, which is very frustrating as well. But this is a can't-miss type of fight. The boxing and the inside-and-out game of Bivol and the stalk predatory style of Beterbiev. I just hope that Beterbiev is 100% healthy. Even if he's not 100% healthy, even if he's 80%. Still an awesome fight because Beterbiev is
scary.
That
was what I was saying before, that even if he does actually just get through the camp and gets there, like what version are we going to get in the ring? Are we going to get, you know, like with this big fight that we want to happen so bad and then it happens and then we get Crawford and Spence? You know, we thought this fight's a 50-50 fight. It's going to be so close and then it's a complete blowout.
Well, the thing is, though, it's like it lost a lot of momentum. Like the fans almost forgot about it. Like it was building up nicely for June, but it's not like, I feel like the promotion's not there yet. We haven't seen Beterbiev. We haven't heard about him. Yeah, it hasn't gotten to that level. But if it when it does, and I hope it does, it's going to be an awesome fight. Those are the fights that are like scheduled. There's like Gervonta Davis is rumored for a return in early November. That was some news over the weekend. PBC has a hold on the T-Mobile Arena on November 2nd, I want to say. But there is a Golden Knights game that night. And for those that don't know about these holds, promotions put holds on arenas, and they put holds on a lot of different arenas so they can kind of, you know, hedge their bets on when this fight's going to happen.
Right.
It might not happen November 2nd, and it could happen November 9th. It could happen December for Gervonta Davis. But he will return at the end of the year against whom? That is the big question at 135. Don't think it's going to be Shakur. Mm-hmm. As you see this, Shakur Stevenson is potentially fighting Joe Cordina. At 135, that fight does nothing for me.
Yeah, what happened to Zepeda?
According to Shakur, who, you know, he'll get on Twitter and tell you everything, Zepeda wants that fight in February, delaying it once again.
Yeah, the Cordina fight does nothing for me either. I don't care to see
the
that.
Only thing I can think of is Cordina, he's coming off of a loss. He's at 130. He's too
loss.
Big for 130.
Kakashi really, really beat him up. That was bad.
Got stopped. What Stevenson is trying to justify the fight by saying, you know, he's at 135 now. It's the weight he should be at. You know, I don't know. Like, just that fight really doesn't do much for me. Cordina, like, has that one big knockout over Ogawa. But since then, he's shown that that's not really who he is.
No, he wasn't.
So it's not like a big puncher versus Shakur.
He didn't show that after.
Right, you know what I mean? It's not like a big puncher versus Shakur. It's just a guy that was a champ at 130. And they should have unified at 130. Now they're fighting at 135. That's just a rumor out there. Shakur kind of confirmed it on Twitter. Inoue's returning. Spence Fondora, Crawford Ortiz potentially could happen. Then the heavyweights, you got Bacoli. He's going to return at some point. There's a lot of fights coming in the next four
Navarrete,
months.
Navarrete, Valdez, they're talking about in December.
I think that's a lock to happen in December on Top Rank. So there's a lot going down. These are the five fights that are on the schedule. Fury Usyk, huge. Beterbiev Bivol, huge. Canelo Berlanga, going to be fun. You know, the Mike Tyson spectacle is people are going to watch because the undercard is going to be good. So there's a lot of good boxing coming up. Keep it locked. Pro Box, Jared Hurd, Jason Rosario. Loser leaves town.
Loser leaves the game.
Pro Box.
Yeah, we're stepping up now. We're getting a lot. And we have two former two former world champions. One of them was undisputed, you know, fighting each other in a couple of days this week. So it's pretty cool. Pro Box is definitely stepping up their game. The undercard is full of like a bunch of really good prospects. You know, we really like 50-50 fights. We like guys who are really going to get after it in good matchups. Our matchmakers do a really, really fine job of making sure that styles match up because styles make fights. So
styles make fights. Jared Hurt. I can't wait till you talk to him. Like that guy.
Oh, we've been talking to him. We interviewed him a few times. Great interview, man. Great interview.
I love that guy, man. He was on a trajectory with PBC, and you know, I don't know exactly what happened. So, his style was rock and sock 'em. So I'm curious.
Yeah, he says he's working more on defense now at this stage of his career. I think he's 33, 34. Just got married. He owns his own gym now, so he's been in the gym. He's staying in shape. The biggest 154 pounder I've ever seen. The guy looked like a cruiserweight.
I can't believe he's still making that weight now.
Yeah, he's fighting at 60 for this one. He said he will go back down 60, to 54, though, if an opportunity arises. But I mean, it's interesting him fighting at 160 because Lara and Danny Garcia are fighting. And he's already... So Jared Hurt has a dominant win over Lara. You know, so put him right back in the mix at middleweight. And middleweight's kind of a barren wasteland. You got, you know, two much smaller guys fighting for middleweight titles now. Lara's 55 years old. And was really a 54 pounder. Danny was a 40 pounder, and they're fighting for a middleweight title in 2024. It's ridiculous.
That's nuts. That's on the Canelo Berlanga card. Oh yeah, that's your fights this weekend. Floyd Mayweather is fighting John Gotti III. If that interests you, over on the Zone. Enjoy the summer because, as you heard, there's some big fights coming up this fall. That is our episode. Enjoy it, everybody. Have a great weekend. Protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. We out.